Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you feel condemned because you've slipped up, made a mistake, or whatever, understand that condemnation doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Conviction is good. Conviction is God drawing us back in His mercy, amen, to fellowship and reconnecting and reviving in Him. Conviction is important. Conviction is necessary. Conviction always points us to Jesus. Condemnation will draw you away from fellowship with God and His people. So in Christ, there's no condemnation. So if you're feeling condemned because you haven't performed at a level that even maybe others have expected of you, understand that you're not living on demand, but you're living under the Lord. Amen? And before Him, you stand or fall. And so understand that the Holy Spirit always convicts to bring us back to God. Amen? The devil condemns to draw you away from God and from fellowship. Come on, I'm talking to somebody today because many times we have been duped by that voice and that liar that comes along and tells us you can't do this because you're unworthy to be with those people, or you don't want to go there because you will be exposed and they will judge you. Have you ever heard that voice before? So we stay out of fellowship because, well, I haven't really been living as perfectly as I should. But come on, how many know we all need God and we all need fellowship? Amen. We need that as often as possible, especially as we see the day of the Lord approaching, the Bible says in Hebrews 10, amen, that we're not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together. Now, it's very important that we understand the distinction. Once again, if it's conviction, it will always be a way that God is drawing us to Him. He's saying, son, you're off track. I'm over here. Get back in line with my will for your life. Amen. The devil will say, you're dirty, you're rotten, you're no good, you're not worth anything to God, or you don't belong with His people either because you're no good. So he does that to keep you and I away from connecting to the body. And so if the hand starts to believe that lie and it disconnects from the fellowship, come on, you can live a little while like that, but you need that fellowship. God designed us to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. We all have something to contribute to the body ministry, the life of this body. I have something, you have something. Together we build, amen, the house of God. We've been called, each one of us has been called to serve the Lord. If you are saved, if you've been born again, you are called to serve the Lord. And how do I serve the Lord? Well, when I was hungry, you fed me. When we see people and we minister to people, amen? When I pray for somebody, when I bless somebody, when I encourage somebody, I'm actually blessing and encouraging the Lord. Because they belong to Him. We belong to Jesus. Amen? So don't think that you're not valuable and that you're not important, because we're all just as important as if I were to lose a pinky or a thumb. You know, I've known people that had their thumb chopped off, and boy, does that severely limit you, amen, when the thumb's not there. Well, I'm only a little toe. Well, guess what happened? You ever stub your little toe?
Yeah.
It's like the whole body feels it, right? So we need to be together as often as we can. And remember, conviction is just the Holy Spirit saying, hey, get back on track. Condemnation is like, you failed, you're no good, God rejects you, you might as well just leave and go back into the world. That's the difference. Conviction will always point you back to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I repent. Lord, I'm changing my mind. I'm going to change my behavior, because repentance is more than just saying, I'm sorry, amen. It's doing something about it. I'm sorry enough to change what I'm doing. All right. We've been talking about overcoming the giants. Dealing with anything in your life that would hinder you or prevent you from entering into salvation rest, entering into a place where you have rest for your soul. If you try to work out deals with your adversary, if you try to compromise with your adversary, if you just try to be tolerant of your adversary, then he will irritate your eyes and be a thorn in your flesh. God was telling Israel, when you get into the land, you need to drive out your enemies. You need to dispossess them, because if you do not, they will be irritants in your eyes and they will be a thorn in your side. They will torment you in the land, is what he's saying. And there are many God's people that live a tormented life that are not truly free because sometimes of unbelief. We're not believing that God can do what he said he could do. Sometimes we're not believing indeed that the one that's dwelling within me is greater than the one who's in the world. I have to have my confidence in God's grace and his ability to bring me through to victory in every high and stormy gale, every situation that we face in life. The enemy wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to rob you of your peace. He wants to make you and I miserable. And if we just tolerate it, that's the word today, tolerate. Come on, we just need to tolerate everything, right? That's exactly what the devil is saying. You have to be tolerant of sin. You have to be tolerant of rebellion. You have to be tolerant, you know, of these spirits that are plaguing and tormenting your mind. The devil says that it's just the way it's going to have to be for you. You're just going to have to live the rest of your life as an addict, as an alcoholic, as a person that can't get a control of your temper. It's just who I am. The devil tells you, yeah, that's just who you are. But the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I am no longer that. Right. What you believe is what you will live. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We hear what God says, the promises of God. It produces a confidence in God that results in good works, not the opposite way. My life will reflect what I truly believe in my heart. If I believe that I'm free from the power of sin, I will live free from the power of sin.
Amen.
If I believe the report that God gave about his son, that Jesus died in my place, he took my sins upon himself upon that cross. Amen. So I could be free. If I have my confidence and my trust and my faith in God's promise, that if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You see, you can have a certain confidence in that, but then the devil wants to come along and say, well, you're not really forgiven. How many know what I'm talking about? How many have come down to an altar, or maybe you just did something stupid, and you just were praying, God, please forgive me for that stupid thing I did. And God did. 5 minutes later, you're getting that same thing back again. You ain't forgiven yet. You didn't pay enough penance. You didn't do enough good works to earn that forgiveness. Come on, somebody. You don't earn your forgiveness. It's a gift from God. Amen? Hallelujah. So what I believe is what I will live. You can see and observe a person's life, and you can tell where their treasure is just by the way they live their life. What they spend their time on, what they spend their money on, what they spend, you know, their affections on, will determine where their treasure is. My wife and I were talking a little bit the other day, and there's a man named Brother Andrew. Some of you may remember him from years ago. Tremendous man of God. He was called, and he went into these places where nobody else would go with the gospel. He would look for the most wicked city, the most vile place, and that's where he would go with the gospel. And while he was on a mission trip one time, he got an invitation from the underground church in China. And they said, well, Brother Andrew, we really appreciate the fact that you've come here to speak to us. But before you speak, we have a question for you. They said, what have you given up for Jesus? Brother Andrew said he was speechless. And you know what they told him? You're not worthy to speak to us. Now, I want you to hear something. Most of our Christianity today is self-centered, self-focused. In America, it's all about what I get from God. When you hear testimonies, most of the time the testimonies are, look what God did. Look what God gave me. Look how God blessed me. And you know, God does give good gifts. God does bless us. But what's happened is we become just like society in the church, where we have a consumer mentality, where it's all about getting, getting, getting. And it's not about giving. Now, Jesus was sharing me this one story about a pastor who went in, and I'll try to get it as accurate as possible, but they had three types of students. They went to a Christian student in a school, a Muslim student, and an unbeliever. And they gave each one 10 pencils and asked them to do what they would do with those pencils. But they said, we want you to share whatever you feel would be right to give. The Muslim student gave 7 pencils away and kept 3. The unbeliever took 5 for self and gave 5 away. The Christian student, you ready for this? Gave 3 and kept 7. We are living in a society that is so self-consumed, and even in the church, so much of the Christianity has been to cater to the wants of people and even the desires of people, to where the gospel somehow has gotten lost in all of that, where it's become something other than what Jesus said it was. When Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. He came to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus said, he who is greatest among you will become the servant of all. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He says, disown himself. And we hear and we read the stories of the underground church in China, where they will pray and have meetings sometimes 8 or longer, hours long. And they're over 100 degrees in these buildings because they have to hide from the authorities in these places. And there'll be hundreds of people packed into these buildings sometimes, and they'll be crying out to God, and God is just blasting them with His presence, and they have discovered that He is their exceeding great reward. He is their treasure. He is the desire of their hearts, and they're even willing to give their lives to go to fellowship with fellow brothers and sisters. They're willing to risk their lives just to go to church, and here in America, we can't get out of bed. Do you understand? Folks, we need to really take a look at what we call Christianity and measure it against the one who it's all about, and that's Jesus. Does my life look like His? Well, it's starting to look like His. How many want to be like Jesus? You see, the flesh often is stronger than we realize. The flesh says, I don't want to give up the rights to this body. All right? The flesh says, I don't want to bow my knee to anyone. I don't want this man to rule over me. The flesh says, I want it my way. I did it my way, right? The flesh says no to the spirit and yes to self. However, the Holy Spirit in us grieves. And He works in us. And He presses us. And He invites us to follow Jesus outside the camp. Out of the world. Out of Babylon. Out of Egypt. Into the wilderness, into the place where we will learn how to hear and learn how to walk by faith in God's Word. If you really want to be alive in Christ, then you have to die to yourself. We cannot live a double life. You have to choose this day who you will serve. When Jesus spelled out the cost of discipleship, the crowds no longer followed Him. Oh, when there was free lunch, everybody was there. When the spectacle took place of the miracles, everybody was there. Hey, check out the miracles. But then when Jesus started to lay it out, if you want to be one of my followers, you have to give up your life. There are Korean churches, mission churches, even in America, where they're taking the children with them into the hostile areas of the world, into Muslim nations and places where you're at risk. Amen? Even for your life or imprisonment, torture sometimes. Because they have discovered that there's no junior Holy Spirit. And the same gospel that I as an adult need to receive, amen, and bow to, is the same gospel that the children need to hear. It can't be playtime, amen. It has to be the reality that children will die and go to hell if they do not repent of their sins, first of all. And God has a mission for the children as well. And if children don't understand that they get to be a partner with Jesus in this thing and that they have relevance in the church today, then they'll just go there to eat a snack and to play for a little bit, and they'll completely miss it, and they will grow up, even many church kids grow up simply to become gospel hardened, where it doesn't even have any impact in them anymore. They're just calloused in their hearts. They've heard it and heard it and heard it, but it's never really gotten through. See, there's a lot of people that thought, well, I just said the sinner's prayer. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And they think that they're saved because they did that. But you know what? The Bible says that godly sorrow worketh repentance. You have to first come to an awareness that you are a lost sinner. Amen? And that you are in trouble before a holy God, and that you are on your way to a devil's hell. Apart from the mercy of God, there is no hope from you. Amen? For you. And that we have to turn to the only one who can forgive and to heal and to restore, amen, our lives and make us into a new creation with a purpose. And I don't know about you, but I want to live the life that God called me to. I don't want to just, you know, attend church occasionally, do once in a while things for God, and the rest of the time it's all about me, because that, I'm sorry, friend, but it's not Christianity at all. We're not called to serve ourselves. We have been called to serve others. We've been called to give our lives away. We sing that song, Lord, make me a living sacrifice. I've got to give my life away. Amen? I want the love that I have for you to shout through everything that I do. God wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to bear fruit in abundance. He doesn't want us just to be casual, on occasion Christians. He wants us to give our lives for Him. And the reason why so many people are shocked when they hear this is because this gospel, which is the true gospel, the gospel of the cross, is not taught in many circles today. It's all about my prosperity, my pleasure, my good feelings. Are you hearing me, somebody? How can we entertain the crowds so the crowds will come? We'll have a big church where everybody's happy. Nobody's saved, but everybody's happy. Yeah. And you see, people won't go to a church where the truth is being taught today, because we are living in those days when Paul told Timothy, the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, right? They'll turn away from the truth. They'll turn to fables. They'll look for somebody who's going to tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. Why? Because it's not popular when you start telling people the truth. But if you love people, and if you love your children, you tell your children the truth. You can't live that way. You can't do those things. They're going to destroy you. Amen? If we love each other, then we have to, in love, admonish one another as believers. Amen? God wants to hone us. God wants to sharpen us as believers. God wants to make His church holy and pure and righteous. And it's not because I'm acting righteous that I'm righteous. Amen? I'm only righteous because I have given myself over to Jesus and He has become my righteousness. I am clothed in Him who is my righteousness. I am clothed in Christ Jesus. Amen? My confidence is not in self, but in Jesus Christ alone. You've got to get a hold of the giants. You got to deal with the giants in your life. You got to deal with the lust and the greed and whatever it is that you struggle with. Amen. So much of the ministry is all about sometimes just coddling people in their mess. Oh, you poor thing. What God wants us to do is turn away from ourselves. Get out of the pity party. When I'm in a pity party, it means I'm self-centered. Come on, if I lived in a pity party, I couldn't do what I'm doing, because I'd always have a reason to have a pity party. I have to fight that part of me that wants to feel sorry for itself. I cannot spare myself. I cannot save myself. I turn away from self. Shut up. It's not about you, Keith. I'm here to live for Jesus now. Now, does God do good for us? Absolutely. Do we have things to give God thanks for every day? Does God provide for us? Yes. Does God prosper us? Yes. All those things are blessings, but that is not the point. Amen. The point is that we are to give ourselves away. We're not in this for us, but we're in this for Jesus. Yes, amen. I come here today for Jesus. Amen. And for His people. I sing and I sing and I praise the Lord for Jesus. Amen. Amen. And if y'all get blessed by it, hallelujah. If you get annoyed, hallelujah. We want worshipers up here. We want people not up here performing for a crowd, an audience. This is not American Idol, amen? But we want to be up here praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords before an audience of one. And if people don't like the sound, there's other places you can go where you can attend your favorite concert every Sunday and put your money in the offering as an act of gratitude. Everything we have belongs to Him. Everything we are belongs to Him. We are in covenant with Jesus Christ. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. We have been purchased with His blood. Amen? So it's no longer a me thing. It's now a we thing. It's me and the Lord together in covenant, in partnership, for the mission of God to be accomplished in the earth. Every one of us in this place is called by God to serve. That's right. And not just serve self. Come on, somebody. If the Church of Jesus Christ, especially in America, would just commit themselves. We talked about commitment this morning, how there's such a lack of it today. A lot of it because of the breakdown of the family and society, and people grown up not knowing what a commitment looks like. I get that. But because of that, we have a lack of commitment. So we have a lack of commitment to the mission and the cause of Christ. And so the mission is not being accomplished, not like it should. Because God says, I want you to partner with me. And if I say, yes, Lord, I will partner with you. Okay? and I do nothing, then God will say, well, I guess I'm just going to have to take what you have and give it to the one who is doing something about it. You understand? God chooses to allow us to be a part of what He's doing, to partner with Him. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. So, are you faithful? Are you being faithful with what God has given you to do? That's the question. It doesn't mean everybody's called to be an usher in the church or whatever. It just means that I need to discover what is God's mission for me. Sometimes it's ministering to children and grandchildren. Amen? And being faithful in my household to be a good father and to be a good husband, to be a good provider. Amen? As an act of worship before the Lord, as I'm demonstrating before the world what it's like to be a godly man. A godly woman. Amen. God took Israel out of Egypt. He broke them free by the blood of the Lamb. That means the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Sets us free from the bondage, the slavery of Pharaoh. And He took them out of everything that was familiar to bring them into a place they had never been before, where they would learn how to walk with God. Right now, you are to learn how to walk by faith. To walk with God, depending upon His Word. Amen. To navigate through life. So that God can then bring you in to the land of promise and rest. So God takes you out to take you in to His rest, into His promise. Amen. So we are learning in the process of how to walk in the Spirit. Amen. God gives us little assignments along the way, little tests along the way. Well, I don't like where things are at right now financially, someone may say. So I want it all now. So we break out the plastic. Uh-oh. Moving right along. Instead of learning to lean on God, we learn to lean on MasterCard. And then we say, how did I get into this mess? God's trying to teach you and I how to depend, how to lean on, trust in His provision. Because when we find ourselves at the brink of passing over the Jordan into the promise of rest, there's going to be battles to fight. And so while we're in this process here, God is developing us for what is yet to come in our lives ahead. Have you discovered that? Things that you had encountered earlier on in your life were actually preparatory for where you were going and what God was bringing you into. So if we are good stewards and we learn to be faithful to God, amen, and to trust Him and to lean on Him, then when you face the giant, you'll already know that your God will give you that giant. Why? Because you've been tested and proven in the time when you had to lean on God in the wilderness or in the lean times of life. Amen. And then when you find that you're face to face with this thing that's standing between you and your rest, you'll have confidence. You'll have grown in your confidence or your faith in God and His Word. So the things that used to shake you don't anymore. I used to get shaken over little things. How about you? No, some of you are too spiritual for that. But then, you know, I find that as I grow in the Lord, I look back and say, man, I'd have blown my cool over that before. Now, I've got this thing called self-control. And how did I develop in self-control? By leaning on the Holy Spirit of God, leaning on the grace of God. When I get pressured to want to blow my stack, I say, God, help. I learn how to lean on Him. And the grace is there when you call on Him. Yeah. Say amen. So we are learning how to navigate by the Spirit because God wants to bring you and I into His abundance, to the place where it's not just raining down every day manna from heaven, but to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. He wants to take you into that abundance. But in order for you to receive the abundant life of Christ, you must deal with the giants or the besetting sins of your life. Amen? Those things that would prevent you from entering into rest. If I want to harbor unforgiveness towards somebody, well, sometimes unforgiveness is a giant. It's a hurdle because you were hurt by somebody and the flesh and the self says, I don't want to forgive them. But the spirit man in you is saying, but you must. And so I have to obey the Spirit of God. And when I yield to the Spirit and I deny the flesh that says don't forgive, and I listen to the voice of God and I choose as an act of my will to release that person in the name or the ability of Jesus Christ, I let them go and that giant comes down. And I feel a freedom and a deliverance come. I'm no longer bound by that bitterness. Are you hearing me? People dealing with lust, you know, sexual lust. Their mind is tormented with lustful thoughts all the time. What do you do? Well, that's just the way it's going to have to be, the devil tells you. You're going to have to come into an agreement with me. I'll leave you alone a little if you just tolerate me a little. And he says, oh, great. Boys, we got a place to set up camp. Let's take it to level 2. Yeah. It's no longer just in the thought life. Now that person's acting it out. So when we do, is what we do is we deal with that giant. If there's something coming against you, if it's lust, it might be greed, whatever it is, you have to deal with it in your thought life and say, I refuse to bow down to that. I reject you, Satan. I resist you in Jesus' name. Get out of my mind. Get out of my head. And you fight until that giant comes down. Don't say, well, I said it once, he didn't do anything. Why? Because the devil doesn't always understand authority, but he does understand power. Amen? So if he comes at you with level 1, you come at him with level 2. Amen? That's why you need both authority and power. Dunamis. Amen? Because the devil doesn't always understand authority. You got somebody rebellious, amen? And I don't care if you're wearing a badge. Come on, somebody. I was probably one of those at that one time. Didn't care if he had a badge on or not. So in a case like that, what do you do? Well, you got to meet that disrespect or that rebellion with what? With a show of force. Come on, somebody. You have to take that devil down. You can't say, well, I guess he's just not going to listen. Can you imagine? It's talking about Barney Fife here, right? Well, I guess he's just not going to listen. Well, Andy. We don't need any Barney Fife Christians. That would be a good sermon title, wouldn't it? We got to know who we are. And say, wait a minute, it's not an option for the devil to tell me that he's not going to get out of my way if he's illegally in my life. Right. Now, if I've done something to allow him access, what do? Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. I've sinned. And God says, you're forgiven. Now you, as my son, you turn around and you tell that devil where to go. That's right. You kick him out of your life and you resist him until he goes. Sometimes, you guys, you got to fight those lustful thoughts, you've got to take charge and say, I'm not, nope, 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 nope. Until finally the demons that are trying to get in your life and get a foothold are saying, you know what, we're wasting our time here. And they'll leave. Resist the devil and he will flee. Oh, I got this urge to get stoned or to get drunk. I really want to have a drink. And the thing keeps nagging me and nagging me. And then those spirits of addiction are saying, yeah, you really want to drink. Just one drink. You know, you don't have to get drunk. No wine's in the Bible. I've heard that voice before, believe me. Might go out and get a whole box of wine, you know. the cheap stuff. So what do? You deal with it. You just say, wait a minute, this is not good. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This will, you know, will mess with my head. It'll get me into trouble. And so I say, no. Oh, come on. No. Oh, come on. No. The answer is, what part of no don't you understand? And that's how you got to deal with the devil. You need to deal with the giants that are coming against you. Until they understand that they don't have an audience with you, that you're not going to enter into an agreement with them, that you are there to actually drive them out, dispossess them out of your life, so that you can have a life that is full of Jesus, where you can have a heart that's at peace with God. Amen? No part of me given to the devil. Jesus said, the devil has no place in me. How about you and I saying the same thing? The devil has no place in me. I'm not giving him any more access. I'm not entering in any more agreements with him. I'm not compromising with him. And no place in me. Why? Because I want my life to be filled with Jesus. Amen. I want the rest of God. Hallelujah. And I want to hear Jesus say, you did well. You believed me. I told you that you could have abundant life. Life to the full. And how many know that an abundant life is a life that is filled with Jesus? Oh, I thought an abundant life was a life filled with toys. Well, that's the message people are hearing today from the pulpit a lot. Sporting or, well, all right. How are you heard preachers? They're up there saying, well, I got this new suit, and $1,000 suit. And $1,000 suit, man, what is it made of? God's not against $1,000 suits, by the way. But the problem is that's what it's become. It's been a consumer mentality that's encroached upon the people of God, going back to where we began here, amen? And it has taken over so many people's lives to where it's all about being blessed. Well, why do I go to church? Why do I give God praise? Why do I even pray? Because I'm always asking God to bless me. God, give me some more. Give me more. Give me better. Give me what I want. How about, Lord, what can I do for you? God doesn't owe us anything. He's a good father, but we owe him everything. We owe him our lives. We owe him everything. He bled and died on a cross, and our brothers and sisters around the world are dying a martyr's death, even taking the risk of their lives to go to a fellowship meeting. Can we not get out of bed, come to church, join together, build one another up, strengthen and encourage, and then go out, amen, and evangelize the world. Make a difference wherever we live, wherever we work. We got to get close to God. You got to be filled with God. You got to get all that stuff out that would choke the life of God out of you, so that you have the confidence that comes from God dwelling and abiding in you. You will have the love of God shed abroad in your heart. No place for the devil, but the love of God to fill my life, so that I have boldness as a lion. Amen. I'm not afraid of people. I'm not afraid of man, because God is in me. Hallelujah. And I know who I am in Christ, and I know who he is in me, and I know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I will not fear what man can do to me. And that giant wants to come back, you just put him in his place again and say, no, I refuse to bow down to the spirit of fear. And you fight it. Sometimes I even come to pray, and I know the devil dispatches his little imps or whatever to come in here and try to freak me out. All of a sudden I get this fear thing come on. It's like, oh, what's that? And I realize, wait a minute, that ain't for me. And what do? Stop it. You just tell it to go, amen. Sometimes you got to get mad at the devil. You got to quit tolerating the devil. Well, our home is full of chaos. Well, do something about it. You don't even have to call a preacher, amen. If you're a child of God and the Spirit of God is in you, you've been given the authority, amen, and the power by His Holy Spirit to take authority over any spirits that are in your house. If there's something that needs to get taken out of there, amen, that's attracting them, yeah, get rid of it. But you have the authority to cleanse your own house. It's not like The Exorcist, right, where the priest comes out with this holy oil and all that stuff, you know. Come on, you and I are priests unto God. We've been given authority and power in Jesus' name to deal with our enemy. Let's start doing it. Your neighbor's having problems. You don't even need to call me. So you call on the same Lord I call on. Amen? And you pray for that person. You lay hands on that person. And if you need to, cast the devil out of that person in Jesus' name. Come on. But in order for you to cast the devil out, you got to get the devil out of you. I don't want any part, amen? I don't want the devil having any access to my life, amen? Any hindrances, they have to go. Any fear, any lust, any greed, any anger, any animosity, any unforgiveness, right? This has to go. Because as a child of God, I've been called to freedom. As a child of God, I've been called to abundant life. I've been called to rest from my enemies. And in order for me to have the rest of God, I have to deal a death blow to the devil. And anything attached to him have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Quit watching the garbage television shows, garbage novels. Come on, somebody. Listen to garbage music. Feed yourself the Word of God. Feed yourself what's good and pure and holy and right. Amen? And true. And think on these things. And if anything contradicts that, you just say that, wait a minute, that's not from God, that's illegal. And you take authority, you say, devil, I reject you in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Leave me now. And you do it until the devil realizes we're messing with the wrong person here. I say this often, but I do it because sometimes we need to be reminded. Maybe there's somebody here. It's the same thing with addictions. So you say, well, I know I got to quit this stuff. I know I need to overcome this addiction. So you determine, I'm going to overcome this addiction. My New Year's resolution is to overcome this addiction. And so the devil's there. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're talking about. He knows what you're planning. He says, boys, I want you to bring in the big guns here. We got somebody that's going to try to get free. Are you hearing me? And what are the big guns? The big guns are lies. Unbelief. Telling you you can't when God says you can. You can do all things through Christ. Amen? You will do what you believe you can do. What you have faith to do, you can do. So if I believe that Jesus Christ has already broken that addiction over 2,000 years ago, He's already overcome principalities and powers. Amen. Rulers of wickedness and high places. He's already spoiled principalities and powers. If I believe that, I put my confidence in what Jesus has accomplished already for me. And my faith comes into agreement with the truth. And I say, wait a minute. This thing is illegal. It has no place in my life. I'm going to deal a death blow to this addiction. When that thing comes up and it tries to offer itself back to me, I say, I rebuke you, I reject you in the name of Jesus Christ. You have no place in me. Calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of Jesus. Lord, I need you. Grant me grace to overcome this hurdle. Some giants are stubborn. Some of them you have to deal with them for a while. Amen? But if you are persistent and you put your confidence in God's ability, you will find that one by one, they're coming down in your life. They have no choice. You have to have that attitude. This thing has no place. It's illegal for me. God doesn't want it in my life. It has no choice but to go. Joshua and Caleb understood that. They said, but God has promised us this land. We are well able to overcome these giants. Because God has already promised us that land. And God said, wherever the soles of your feet, what? Have trod, I have given to you. So that means you walk out your salvation. step by step, dispossessing, step by step, dispossessing, step by step, dispossessing anything the enemy has put between you and your rest or your peace in God. Amen. God doesn't want his people tormented anymore. And if you need help, you need brothers and sisters to come around you and pray for you about something that maybe, you know, really you're having trouble getting over, then call upon your brothers and sisters to agree with you in prayer. Amen.
Yes.
And together we'll deal with it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. But humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Be willing to acknowledge that I need help. Because we're all in this together. We're all somewhere along the journey. Amen. And we're going to face things in life that we've never faced before. And that's when we know, we need to know there's somebody I can call out to. Amen. To partner with me if I'm struggling with something in my life. Not somebody that's going to say, oh, you did that. But somebody to say, hey, brother, you know what? We're going to deal with this thing. Because we're here to help you. Amen. Help you out of that. I'm not here to kick you when you're down. I want to help you out of that. Amen. That's what Jesus did. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for those who knew they were lost. The lost sheep. You and I. So thank God for his grace today. Thank God for his mercy. Come out of Egypt and get Egypt out of you. Amen. So that you're in the position to go and possess that land, that promise, that salvation rest. Amen. Where I can sleep, lay my head on the pillow at night and sleep. I mean, there's been times when that wasn't the case. There's been times in my life where I've had to wrestle principalities. Amen. I had to wrestle with that devil because he was going to try to rob me of my peace where I couldn't sleep. Because stuff was eating at me or something had happened in my life. And I've discovered that God's grace is more than enough. God's grace is greater than anything the devil. You just got to run to Jesus and go deep into his heart. Cry out to him. Pour your heart out to God. Amen. Calling on his name. And God's grace will keep you. God's grace will bring you through that river. Amen. And through that fire. God will take care of it if you trust him. Don't tolerate the devil any longer. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. And we praise you, Jesus. Would you just thank him right now for his goodness? And thank you for the truth. Thank you for the word that he gave today. I'm confident the Holy Spirit is at work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He wants you to be free. No longer bound by fear, slave to any kind of vices. God wants his people free. Let's lift our hands right now. Receive that word. That is a word. That is an agreement. Father God, thank you. Just thank him for freedom. Lord, I thank you that I'm free. I surrender. Just surrender. Lift your hands and say, Lord Jesus, I surrender. I give you all of me. Lord, I want you to possess all of me. So I give you all of me, Lord. Lord, I invite you to come into my heart. I invite you to come into every room, every void, every area of my life, God. I want my life to be completely filled with Jesus. So Lord, I give you permission just to flood my life and drive out my enemies, Lord. Drive them out as smoke. Drive them away. Arise, O Lord. Hallelujah. Let God arise, let God arise, let God arise, let God arise.